We've got our take cannons loaded and ready.
Ready.
Absolutely dominant on deep routes. Absolutely dominant on short routes.
The boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
It's Reception, Reception, the show.
Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Go, Matt Harmon here with you. You're listening to Reception, Reception, the show. If I sound more excited today than I normally am, first of all, I apologize because I know some of y'all hate it when I get excited. That's okay. I don't know why people hate when I get excited, man, but they do. I don't know. But, man, I'm just an excitable guy. Hey, listen, but if I sound more excitable than I normally am, it's because today is a big day on the Reception Perception website. Matt Harmon, my goodness gracious. I'm so excited to be debuting and messing around with this player comparison tool that we unleashed on the public today.
Yes, that's right. The RP player comparison tool is the latest feature we dropped on the site. Been kind of teasing that something was coming. You know, something was coming big to the site.
Something big down, yeah.
By the way, not even the only thing that went on the site today. I saw you drop some running back profiles as well. Sure. Quarterback profiles yesterday. Oh, wide receiver profiles on Monday. It's a big time for the site. But no, the player comparison tool. I've wanted something like this on the site for a while. Talked with different people about it, looked at different versions of things, and you know, just kind of never felt like really the timing was right, honestly. And I'm glad that we waited for this one because this is the brainchild, you know, as usual, 95%, 98%, maybe 100% of our guy, Zach Miller, came up with this, built this player comparison tool here.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. And obviously with the whole thing, it takes, you can look any wide receiver season I've charted for NFL players since 2014, and it'll give you the top 10 comparable seasons for that player. I thought it was a really good time to drop this because we have so many of the year two profiles going up. And I think that's a really cool way to say, like, all right, like, give me Tetero McMillan's 10 most comparable seasons for his rookie year. You get some really interesting results that way. So I'll have some more content coming out on this, YouTube explainers and stuff like that, so people can check it out. But this is available to all subscribers, all subscribers to the site. So whether you're basic all the way to sicko, you get access to this tool. You can find it on the homepage right now. You can find it on our rankings and tools tab. So, you know, expect a lot of cool stuff like this coming to the site, but really, really excited about this one. So it takes, again, like, just kind of a full combination of all these different Reception Perception metrics. It starts, of course, it has to start, James, with the lineman player archetype. So we've got guys bucketed into slot, Z, and X, and gadget. There's a couple gadget guys in there. It's a small category, but there's a couple gadget guys in there.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, so they go into those particular buckets. I think maybe in the future might look at changing that up a little bit and maybe kind of going deeper. But right now we just got these guys bucketed as X, Z, slot, gadget. And so it kind of compares within, not exclusively, but within those archetypes. And then it takes in a bunch of other data points, all the success rates that you guys love versus man zone press, contested catch, essentially, you know, kind of distills the profile down and compares it to the, like I said, 10 most comparable seasons throughout the course of Reception Perception history. So I definitely think for these fun players, it's really, for these young players right now, it's really fun to look at that.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. There's some really interesting matches. You know, when you start talking about gadget guys, I type in Wandale Robinson, not totally a gadget guy, right? But he's more bucketed into the slot receiver role, but that's okay. I type in Wandale Robinson, what comes out? Very interesting comparisons. Jarvis Landry and Jacoby Myers, your top two guys based off of what Wandale Robinson did in 2025. And by the way, it's interesting too, right? Like, it is capturing their individual seasons, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like you could go Wandale Robinson 2025. What was he like? What was Rondo? What was his player comp in 2022? Things like that. So again, interesting names that you don't necessarily put together with Wandale Robinson, but Wandale Robinson in 2025 had a season very similar to 2019 Jarvis Landry. So I thought that was very, very interesting. But again, there are some other names, Matt Harmon, that that some other player comps that you pulled here that I think that were really interesting too.
Yeah, just real funny. Real quick, I love the the fact that it's individual player seasons, because you will get a little bit of like overreaction to that. Really good example. We debuted this yesterday in the Discord for people to get an advanced look at it before it went like fully live and promoted on the site and everything. And somebody looked up Keon Coleman and they're like, "Oh my God, one of his top comparables is Dez Bryant." And I was like, "Yeah, look at the year though." And it was Dez Bryant's, you know, sure. like I fell off the cliff season, his final year in Dallas. So, it's just, you got to look at that year for which season it is for some of these players. But yeah, I came up with three that I just wanted to talk through really quickly here. And just like some interesting kind of takeaways from this, and even some of them, like I said, that are a little bit funny here, including the first one, Torrey Horton. Horton is, his profile is not on the site. He will be up on Friday morning, though. His profile will be up on the site as we complete the year two drop. Nice. Top five comparable players for Torrey Horton. Number one, and his only strong comparison, the comparisons, by the way, are sorted either into an elite comparison, a strong, a moderate, or a loose comparison. So all of these ones are at least moderate, the ones I'm going to share here for these ones today. Top five comps: DJ Moore's 2025 season, his only strong comparison. Hilariously, though, his second most comparable player season, Torrey Horton, is literally Rashid Shaheed from last year. So... it's like it's all
you lose Torrey Horton and then in comes Rashid Shaheed, right?
In comes Rashid Shaheed, perfect little replacement there for the Seattle Seahawks, and maybe also a little twist of the knife for us Torrey Horton dynasty bros, as Rashid Shaheed might be the reason that Torrey Horton gets blocked from being like a really big time dynasty contributor, fantasy contributor. But a good, really good talent signal there, including a couple other comps. Brandon Ayuk 2021 season, definitely don't look at the Brandon Ayuk 2023 comps. Don't hurt yourself in that way if you want to go down painful memory road. John Brown 2015 and Keelan Cole 2017. So I think it does a pretty good job of showing like what kind of player Torrey Horton is. You know, a separation guy, speed player, everything. Mostly a lot of these guys are Z receivers as well. Another good one that I thought was interesting from this past season, Romeo Doubs 2025. These are all strong comparisons, by the way. Okay, Amari Cooper 2022 season, Cortland Sutton 2024, Julio Jones 2020, so you know, kind of the tail end of his Falcons career there. Drake London 2022 and Michael Thomas 2022, again kind of the end of his Saints run. So really I think what that shows us for Doubs is like by the time this past year for him, the player he developed into good quality starting X receiver, you know, which is something we've talked about as this guy who took a pretty big step against press man coverage from what he was early in his career. And, you know, like all these guys here, various different points of their career, but they were all like starting quality X's. So just a good reminder that as while the entire, you know, NFL world is obsessed with when is AJ Brown going to get to town in New England, and we'll see when, you know, that happens, they already did sign a pretty good, solid starting receiver there in Romeo Doubs, and we'll see what he's able to do. And then the last one I wanted to bring here, top five comps for Luther Burden, who we talked about on last episode of the show. Top five comps for him: Robert Woods, 2020. Stephon Diggs, 2024 with the Houston Texans. Chris Godwin, 2022. That's the end of the strong comparisons. Dontavian Wicks, 2023.
Interesting.
And Rashee Rice 2023. And I think this does a really good job of kind of showing the, you know, the range of outcomes here and the different little archetypes that Luther Burden falls into. But I love this Robert Woods comparison for Luther Burden. Now, if you're like a hardcore Burden bro, you're going to sit here and be like, "Well, no, he's going to be way better than that, way better than that." Robert Woods from 2018 to 2020.
Oh, with he
was awesome with the LA Rams. 86 catches, 1,219 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 18. 90 catches, 1,134 yards, and 2 touchdowns in 2019. And then this season, 2020, he had 90 catches, 936 yards, and 6 touchdowns in 16 games.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what, if Luther Burden does that, that would be an awesome outcome for Luther Burden. So I think it's one of those that just people forget that he had this really strong stretch with the Los Angeles Rams as a Z receiver running these kind of quick outs and in breaking routes and things of that nature. And I kind of think that that's what Luther Burden, you know, will be. So for the Chicago Bears, it's type of, like the archetype of player I think they'd love for him to land in. And so, yeah, I thought that was a really good and cool comparison for Luther Burden there.
By the way, our pal Lindsay Rhodes, shout out to her, because I remember we were doing a show on DirecTV Red Zone, and Robert Woods, a former USC guy, and Lindsay Rhodes is a former USC gal. She's hardcore into USC, if you guys didn't know. And she's like, and we saw Robert Woods make a play. And she's like, oh, look at Bobby Trees going out there and making a play. And I'm like, what? Well, hold up. You said Bobby Trees now? And that was the birth of Bobby Trees on the internet, to the point where Robert Woods actually recognized himself as Bobby Trees, which is incredible. But shout out Lindsay Rose. It's the first time I had ever heard.
Well done.
That nickname, and obviously as somebody who loves nicknames, I'm like, yes, oh my God. I put it out on the internet so fast, man. I was like, after that, man, I was like, we're only calling him Bobby Trees, and it took off. So it was great. But it's interesting. You know, let me say this also about Robert Woods, man. Hey, listen, those prime years that you were talking about, people want to gloss over the fact that when he was at his absolute peak, he was a better player than Cooper Kupp. Right. And there were years where there was a year where he was the primary over Cooper Kupp. Mm-hmm. And then there were a couple years where they were both kind of like 1A, 1B, right? Interchangeable. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like, and Robert Woods had to leave for Cooper Kupp to go ham sandwich ballistic. You know what I'm saying? So, man, Robert Woods at his peak, man, like I said, man, he was an absolute dog. So if Luther Burden gets to those peaks, shoot, man, that's pretty good. Again, player comparison tool, go to receptionperception.com. A lot of really, really interesting ones here. And when you look at the strong comparisons, those are really cool too. Okay, we continue though with our look at our second year data drop on the site. Again, 10 on the site now. Matt, confirm it for me now. What are we going to have by Friday? We got 10 now. What are we having by Friday?
Okay, by Friday, we will definitely have Kyle Williams, Torrey Horton, Pat Bryant, and Elik Iomanor from the Tennessee Titans. I will say with about 80%, so not 100%, 80% certainty, I will also have Isaac Tesla done. But you know, tomorrow is my wedding. Well, people are listening to this, is my wedding anniversary. So I'm not going to promise. I'm not going to be working tomorrow. All right. I took the day off. So I cannot promise that the Tesla profile will be done by Friday. But if it is, just know that I love you guys. Not as much as I love my wife, but I love you guys. And I got that thing done. So I can at least confirm that Williams, Horton, Bryant, Iomanor are ready to go. They'll be shipped by Friday, hoping that Tesla will be as well. If not, he'll get done, you know, pretty much very soon after.
Okay, we talked about Luther Burden on our previous episode as a year two drop here. We got three more: Jack Besh, Travis Hunter, Jalen Knoll. Matt, I feel like the Michael Scott from The Office meme where he slaps the table and says, thank you. You know, like when I look at these three guys, I'm like, dude, I knew my eyes were not deceiving me, man. Like when I watch Jack Besh, Travis Hunter, and Jalen Knoll play, I'm like, okay, they're not getting a lot of opportunities, but what the hell, bro? Like these guys are getting open. These guys are making plays. And for some reason, they're just not on the football field and not on in a position to win as much as I'd like them to be their rookie campaign. And then I go through the reception perception data and I'm like, thank you. Yes, this is what I'm talking about. Jack, let's start with Jack Besh there.
Yeah.
For the Raiders. Solid profile, especially in the intermediate and short areas. Digs, 80% success rate. Curls and comebacks, both north of 85%. Slant at an 80% success rate as well. I mean, let me just say, man, the hip sync, it is real with this guy. We saw that in college. I think we saw that to a degree in the pros here as well. Short and intermediate, Jack Besh, really, really good player.
Right. And the other two guys that you mentioned we're going to talk about here, Jalen Knoll and Travis Hunter, like I can explain, obviously, for very different reasons, why those guys, you know, weren't getting consistent snaps to the level that you might like. Right. You know, for Christian Kirk, obviously blocking Jalen Noel, that was a big part of it. For Travis Hunter, he's playing cornerback in addition to wide receiver in his rookie year. Right. We know what's going on there. Besh is the one of the trio here that it's like, okay, I don't get it. Like, this was just so confusing to me. It's like why he was just like not getting opportunities last year. We talked about it a lot, especially like in relation to the fact that I really liked him as a prospect. Now, he wasn't a perfect prospect. He was a skewed alignment receiver, only took snaps at the right wide receiver position at TCU. He's obviously coming from that stripped down offense. So not a guy that you can really, really go all in on and guarantee, like lock it in, this guy's going to be a great NFL player. There's obviously some red flags in his profile, some other things that we'll talk about that did translate from a negative standpoint to the NFL level. But he was a prospect I really liked. It was a Raiders offense. It looks like, okay, there's some opportunity here.
Oh, yeah.
And then you chart out the rookie report data, like midseason rookie report was on the site. It's like, yeah, this guy, like I'm watching him play. Like he looks like he belongs on the field. Why is he not playing? Like what is going on here? And digging into it after the fact, I think I know why. Particular members of the coaching staff just straight up didn't want this guy. Just straight up did not want this guy as a draft pick. And I think that you could see that happening in real time, you know, based on just how I talked about it a lot. What they did to the other rookie receiver, Dante Thornton out of Tennessee was just bonkers. This is a coaching staff that did not have a cohesive vision as a group and was not really. It wasn't a well-coached team last year. You think like, oh, Pete Carroll's coming in here, this is going to be a clean operation. It wasn't. They were very behind the eight ball. They did not have a cohesive vision, and it felt like a team that was coached by a bunch of guys who both weren't on the same page. Some guys weren't, you know, ready to be in the jobs that they had. And, you know, the other part of it here too is that they were behind. Like I said, I mean, Pete Carroll, it's like the guy had been away from football, you know, for a year and he came back and clearly didn't look like he was fully, you know, kind of had the finger on the pulse, especially on the offensive side of the football. What they did to Dante Thornton, like they just like, oh, big, fast guy. Like he's going to be a day one starter for us. There was no shot that guy was ready to play early in the NFL. And, you know, we saw the results of it. It was not good for Thornton. I feel almost like I said, feel a little bit bad for him that he was just pushed into the pool there. And then for Besh, how this relates back to him, like I said, barely plays, but when he does play, you see some real ability. You mentioned the success rates on the short and underneath routes. 51st percentile success rate versus man, 63rd against zone, 64th against press. Like he did show an ability to get open. And this is all while, in my opinion, playing out of position. Talk about the player comparison tool, which we just debuted today. We were just talking about it. You type in his comparable seasons. These are the top three guys that he compares to. It's all X receivers. It's like Rashad Bateman's rookie year, X receiver, Cedric Tillman's 2024 season, X receiver, Kenny Galladay in 2018, X receiver. Like why is he in this bucket as an X receiver? And that's exactly what happened here. 76% snaps on the line of scrimmage. He was in the slot on just 28% of his sample snaps. Like for the most part, not exclusively, but for the most part, this guy was an outside X. And again, I like Besh as a prospect. I did not think he was going to be an X receiver in the NFL.
No.
Because he does not set. He's a good separator. We just talked about this. He doesn't have the straight line speed. You go back and look at his prospect profile, James, like a ton of green on the route chart, right? The one glaring bad negative was, well, he can't run vertical. His nine route success rate, his corner route success rate, really low. Guess what are his two worst routes? On his NFL route tree, 36% nine route success rate and 33% corner route success rate. You can't hang an X receiver if you can't, you know, separate vertically like that. So it was just a guy that was playing out of position, was kind of treated with this like flippant nature, like, oh, throw him out there, big receiver as the X. I can hear an argument and we can unpack this that, oh, you know, well, Brock Bowers, and it's a 12 personnel offense, right? Like somebody has to be the outside on ball player. Well, you can find ways to maximize like a big slot movement Z type that is what I think Besh should be.
Yeah.
And a move tight end. Good coaching staffs do it all the time.
All the time.
All the time. Look at what like the Lions have done with Sam Laporta and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like good coaching staffs find a way to figure it out. this is like, again, it's like, there's a way to get Besh on the field and Bowers on the field doing all the cool move around stuff. Obviously, what happened last year was not the right way to do it.
Route participation wise, 15.4% route participation on the nine route. That's a heavy usage of the nines. I mean,
crazy.
Anything over 10% is pretty heavy in the NFL. Maybe not so much in college, but at the NFL level, anything over 10%, that's pretty heavy usage, you know? And for him to be at 15% route participation there, that's insane. When you then also watch him and say, yeah, well, he's struggling to separate down the field. Like, why keep running him against the wall like this? I'm convinced, obviously, I don't have all the numbers in front of me here, but I'm convinced, like, if you were to just reduce that by half, a lot of his overarching success rates would then rise, right? Like, his man, like, his success rate versus man right now is 68.7%. Like, that's fine.
Perfectly solid, yeah.
Perfectly, but again, we want that to be a little bit higher, right? Like, we want that to be cover that 70% threshold. He's knocking on the door, he's fine. But again, an 80% against zone, that's really, really good. But like I said, 15% route participation on the nine, shoot, you know for sure his zone percentage is going up, meaning his success rate's going up. And I think that his man success rate would also go up too. So I think that we're just scratching the surface here of a really good player in Jack Besh.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think that you're right to say that the overall numbers are still good. And this is without like the role catering that I think the player needs. Like, I was really high on Jack Besh as a prospect. But there, you know, there have been guys like, I liked him as a prospect, and yo, boy, like year one product just like wasn't good at all, you know, and that's definitely happened before. I just don't think Besh really was like that in a small sample size. So I think that there's just a way to get this guy activated. It does not have to be like as a pure power slot either. As a matter of fact, like, I think a good way to get him activated from, you know, a route and kind of like snaps and kind of pre-snap deployment perspective would be a lot of what the Seahawks did last year with Cooper Kupp. You know, obviously Cooper Kupp was one of the best big slot power slot players in the NFL at his peak. He's not that guy anymore. His final year in LA showed a pretty precipitous drop off in terms of his ability to get open, especially down the football field. But he was still a very useful player for the Seahawks last year in a low volume production role because of his blocking ability and his ability to win quickly. Like, you go and look at some of these games when Cooper Kupp was just like moving the chains, you know, on third down and stuff like that. Yeah. That's the guy I would imagine Besh can be. Like, is that going to get you, is that going to light your fire from like a production standpoint or fantasy? I don't know about that, but I do think like a guy with the separation ability quickly and to get open, and you mentioned the hip sync on these in-breaking routes and quick stop routes. That is what a guy like Fernando Mendoza needs in his rookie year. That is what this offense is going to need as well, because they have some guys who can kind of lift the lid, right? Like Trey Tucker is a guy who can get down the football field. Maybe even Thornton can still contribute as a vertical player, but he badly needed development. And what happened to him last year was a shame. Even Jalen Naylor, who they signed, is kind of like a guy that can move around and play all three receiver positions and can get down the football field a little bit, but they do need like a reliable possession target. That's what I imagine Besh can be early on in his career. And obviously if they continue to grow and develop his game, there's a lot more to it. And I do think, like, and maybe I'm just telling myself a story on this, you know, so feel free to tell me, like, again, maybe I'm just completely wrong on everything. And like, Besh is just never going to be a good NFL player. I'm totally willing to acknowledge that it might be possible. But I think that you look at this Raiders team that didn't do anything in the draft like serious at the wide receiver position, and people are killing them for it. And I'm not going to sit here and say that they're not one of the weakest rooms on paper, you know, in the NFL. It is one of the weakest rooms on paper in the NFL. But if you're going to funnel most of this thing through Brock Bowers, which is obviously what they should do, you're telling me like, oh, you spend a fourth round pick or so third round pick on a receiver. How about just get the guy that you drafted? This front office drafted last year in the second round. Get him the right role and get him going here. I think that's much more useful than like, oh, spend a third round pick on Elijah Surratt, who I like, you know, right? I like Elijah Surratt as like a power slot conversion player. I like that idea, but that's more of kind of the same thing of what you already have in Jack Besh, right? Just like, oh, well, he played with Fernando Mendoza. Well, again, that's cool. It's fine. It would have been an awesome story to see those two guys back together again. They have great chemistry on the back shoulder stuff. But at the same time, I would just rather get like something out of Jack Besh. I kind of think this is the coaching staff to do it.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, listen, and while I don't like their wide receiver room overall, I think that they prioritize quickness over speed. Right. Like getting Jalen Naylor, he's a quicker player, not a speed player. Right. Like where I'm talking about a guy who a lot of these guys really can't get down the field. Maybe Trey Tucker can. But
yeah, we'll Trey Tucker can burn. He can definitely rip it downfield.
So we'll see. But Trey Tucker, Jalen Naylor, Jack Besh, those are your three wide receivers. I would imagine I'm hoping that we see a lot of Trey Tucker, Jack Besh, 1-2 combinations. That'd be nice. I think they're a little bit interchangeable, you know, and they could get after it for the Raiders. But you combine that with Ashton Jeanty. Oh, by the way, we've got a player profile up right now on Mike Washington. Washington hit the site right now. So that's an interesting one.
Dynasty rookie drafts just like needed Mike Washington to go somewhere else. Like, I mean, it's cool that he's there with the Raiders and stuff. Like they, a little pop in the backfield, a little depth behind Ashton Jeanty, but like, damn dude, we really needed him to go to like a spot that he could climb the depth chart. That was tough. But, yeah, I think it's an interesting like collection of players for Clint Kubiak's first year on the job. And, you know, I definitely think that, when you look at Michael Mayer, right? Like he's once again, kind of getting the hype cycle in the offseason, like, oh, they're going to run a bunch of 12 personnel. They did run a bunch of 12 personnel last year. And I think Mayer can be a good inline player so that you can move Brock Bowers around. For sure. Right? Like our guy Max Toscano talks about this a lot, though, that sometimes Bowers is probably the exception when you're moving these guys around. Like, are you, you know, kind of losing sort of the receiving ability because it's not a wide receiver? I think Bowers is an exception to that. Obviously, he can be activated from multiple different positions. But yeah, there are ways where if you're moving, you know, Bowers around, he's your true slot player. You can also still then kind of have Besh as the F player there and like be more of a blocker in two receiver sets and even in three receiver sets. And you can do stuff where like Trey Tucker is your vertical player in like a 3-by-1 set, and you have Besh and Jalen Naylor as kind of the guys there along with Brock Bowers in the three spot. Like there's a lot of flexibility there. And I think that's what this offense wants to do. Like they do want to run a lot of stuff through the tight end, but you also do need receivers to be active as well. And I just am not willing to throw in the towel quite yet on Besh. If it doesn't happen in year two, okay, then, you know, I was probably wrong on him as a prospect, but just based on knowing what I know about how this thing went down in Las Vegas last year and watching him in isolation, like I definitely think there is still something, you know, to this guy. And I think that the ability to separate in the short and intermediate area is really, really valuable for this player. And like I said, good offensive coaches are able to activate the move tight end and the power slot player, you know, the F player, the Z movement guy, that sort of hybrid role. It's absolutely possible. It is totally able to happen from a scheme and, you know, pre-snap alignment perspective. I think Kubiak is much more along the lines to get it done than what we saw last year.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll see how much Kirk Cousins plays too, by the way, early. I imagine he'll play early. We'll see. Mendoza, little late, Fernando Mendoza. Okay, so in regards to Travis Hunter, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I dreaded to read this profile the most because I kind of figured, okay, this guy might be good, and I'm not 100% sure that he's going to even play wide receiver. We'll see. I don't know. Trying to figure out if he's going to play wide receiver. This is like everyone's favorite offseason game right now.
No, least favorite, but that's fine.
Hey, listen, I've seen you engage. Okay, I've seen you engage in the smoke signals and the tea leaves and such.
Well, the discourse has just been so stupid, dude. Like, it's been a real lesson in media literacy. Like seeing people react to some of these reports. You know, the team has, like, nowhere along the way has anyone from the team ever said like the guy is not going to play on offense or even that his offensive role would be reduced. They just said like he's going to play more at cornerback because they have a weaker cornerback depth chart than a wide receiver depth chart. But I mean, and James Gladstone said it, Liam Cohen recently said it, like that does not mean that his snaps on offense are going to be affected. Maybe they will, but there's been no indication that that will 100% happen, if that makes sense.
I am so concerned that the injury is going to drive this decision to play him, I want to say like 80% on defense, 20% on offense. Now, to be clear, to your point, Matt, there's nothing that says he can't play 120 snaps, right? Like 60 on defense, 60 on offense. There's nothing that says he can't do that, right?
Well, I don't know.
But realistically, the rigors of the NFL, realistically,
right?
He can't play. The guy can't play 120 snaps. It's just not. I don't know. Maybe Travis Hunter is a superhuman. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we saw him get injured last year. I think that may drive a little bit of the decision-making process. But that being said, I read the profile and I'm like, in my head, inner monologue, I'm like, don't do this to me, Matt. Don't do this to me, bro. You know, this guy can't be posting a 75% success rate versus man. 77% success rate versus press. That's too good. Don't do this to me, bro. You know, Travis Hunter is out there just cooking DBs. He's out there eating. He's out there producing. And I'm not sure we're going to see him play wide receiver. That's crazy.
Well, again, we're definitely going to see him play wide receiver. And like the profile, to some degree, we'll see how much it is. And I think that what the profile just reminds us is that, like, yeah, this guy, and by the way, this is all his first seven games, right? Unlike players that, you know, get the right to improve over the second half and everything,
yeah,
you know, like a Tetero McMillan, right? Or some of these other guys we've talked about. That never got to happen for Travis Hunter. He got hurt right as he in practice. He got freaking hurt in practice, right as he off of a bye week.
Yeah.
It goes on bye, comes back to practice when he's getting ramped up to be the featured player on offense, which is what the team said. His quarterback Trevor Lawrence has said it to me, it's just, this was all going to happen right here. They were just finding their groove with this guy, and then he gets hurt in practice. It definitely could be like one of those sliding door moments, you know, just like we might never know what would have come after that. But and I don't care about like his production in garbage time or whatever the week before. Like I'm talking about what I saw on film, you know, I'm not talking about the box score or anything like that. So, the guy was definitely, improving by the end of his rookie season. And I won't shy away from this. Like there were some rough moments for him to start his NFL career, particularly against zone coverage. Like that's the thing to me that I thought he struggled the most with. Was like spatial awareness and like knowing where to settle, right? Yeah. Particularly on, you know, I would say routes working back to the quarterback, like curls and stuff like that. Just would kind of run himself into leverage at times, outbreakers from the slot. He would run himself into, you know, closed windows. So there was definitely like a, hey, he's feeling out the NFL kind of field in the NFL game coming from a kind of stripped down collegiate offense at Colorado, for sure. A very rudimentary passing game design where he was mostly just the outside on ball player. And of course was not going to offensive meetings at Colorado for the most part. He was mostly in defensive meetings and was just out there doing stuff on offense and obviously really good at doing set stuff on offense. Now he goes into this offense with Liam Cohen, that is very complicated and asks a lot of the F receiver position, which is what he was playing last year. He primarily in his games charted was a slot receiver. He was off the line of scrimmage for 70.9%. He was 56.7% in the slot, 8.6% in the backfield as that motion player. So, you know, this is a part of like the Brian Thomas Jr. fall off last year too.
Right.
Goes from a pretty, pretty basic offense his first year in Jacksonville under Doug Peterson that isn't quite as complicated with the shifts and the motions and some of the stuff that we've seen now from these more modern play callers. Like, yeah, this offense looked really good in Tampa Bay under Liam Cohen when two of the smartest veteran receivers we have, Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, are fully integrated into this thing. Oh, this looks awesome. Well, a little bit different when we're talking about a second year receiver and a rookie receiver who's part-timing at defensive back. So
yeah.
I think you saw that a little bit with Travis Hunter at the beginning of his rookie season, but you know, kind of that's how it goes for rookies. Sometimes it starts slow and it picks up. And I definitely think we were starting to see it pick up, but even for him in isolation, you really saw the separation ability on horizontal breaking routes, post dig slant, flat route, comebacks as well at times when he would run those. particularly against man coverage. Like, this is a guy that definitely knows how to beat man coverage, one-on-one situations. The route running finesse is much better there. The details are a little bit more ahead there. So yeah, it's a shame we didn't get to see this develop over the second half of the year, but the profile does show, like, yeah, this is a guy who was playing pretty well in isolation, not perfect football by any means against this. Again, the zone cover stuff does have to absolutely get better, especially if he's going to be a slot receiver, but his ability to beat man and limited looks against press were very solid, if not outright good. 81st percentile success rate versus man.
I was fascinated by his deployment by Liam Cohen. I think Liam knew exactly what he wanted from this player. 61% route participation on 4 in-breakers. Post, dig, curl, slant. So again, he knew that this guy could break you off inside, and you put him on the outside, whether, you know, it's if it's flanker or X, but it doesn't matter. He's going to beat the guy in front of him, right? And so, and he's going to get open inside. And that's kind of what we knew Liam Cohen wanted to do offensively. When you put a player like this in that position to then go win on all these in-breaking routes, to me, that is an indication that Liam Cohen, the coach, was trusting Travis Hunter to kind of, I don't want to say carry the offense, but be a big participant in the offense. So much of this guy's route tree was on these 4 in-breaking routes. Now, what is that? Now, in comparison to the out-breaking routes, like the 3 outbreakers, only 17.6% route participation. So again, 61% on in-breakers, 17.6% route participation on 9s and the 3 outbreakers, right? So again, Cohen putting him in a position where I think he really wants him to succeed and also help carry the offensive load in a big time way.
No question. And like, these are just routes that matter a ton in this passing game, right? These breaking routes. It's a lot of what the big time receiver is running in this offense. And, you know, by the end of last season, Brian Thomas Jr. had been kind of relegated to that vertical X receiver role, which I do think fits Brian Thomas Jr. really well. And like, by the way, you go into the player comparison tool, you type in Brian Thomas Jr., you're going to get his rookie season, you're going to get some really good results. Like, maybe that player is still in there. And man, if you could get him activated, that'd be awesome. But like, they definitely started to transition Hunter into more of these like breaking routes, especially working over the middle of the field. And he was just better at it last year in limited looks than Brian Thomas Jr. was. And of course, then they traded for Jacoby Myers, who took on this role. And they signed him to Parker Washington developed. So yeah, they have 3, you know, theoretically good receivers there, but there's just no reason to completely put the guy that we see here in this profile, and the guy we watched last year, just no reason to completely put him on the shelf. And, you know, and like I said, I love Travis Hunter. I take back 0% of what I said about him as a prospect. I would stand on all of that 10 days out of the week. Okay. Yeah. And there's only 7 days out of the week. So that's how much I'm willing to stand on. 10 days out of the week, I would stand on that. Yeah. Okay. That being said, I wrote in the profile, like, his prospect profile, quote, "I won't be foolish enough to make proclamations about his role in the league, and the plan, quote, may change once he gets into camp or deeper into his career." Like, all that is still true. I do not know, you know, how he is going to be deployed. All I'm saying is that there has been no indication that he definitely will play all defense or more defense than offense. You know, it's been pretty clear from people who cover the team or close to the team and people with the team that they still want him on offense. And of course they do. Like, the dumbest thing that teams do, and I say this all the time, we talk about it on our show here all the time, James, the dumbest thing that teams do is that they look back at last year and think exactly what happened last year is going to happen again, right? The mistake that the Jags would make is to say, well, we don't need Travis Hunter as a wide receiver because by the end of the year, Jacoby Myers and Parker Washington were playing awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
What if Jacoby Myers is going to turn 30 later this year, I believe? What if he loses a step, right? What if Parker Washington, who has been in the NFL for a minute now, and I like Parker Washington, I'm not dogging on Parker Washington here, but what if like his stretch at the end of the year was just kind of like a one-off fluke, right?
Sure.
This is what teams do. Like, this is what happened last year is going to happen exactly the same this year, so we don't need to count on Travis Hunter. That would be a big mistake, and I don't think these guys, you can talk about the draft board and the consensus board and all that stuff. I don't think these guys are idiots. So, in fact, I know that these guys, especially on the coach staff, are definitely not idiots. So, I think they will be relying on Hunter to some degree at wide receiver. And the profile shows like, yeah, this is a guy that they absolutely should not just move away from.
While I agree with you that Parker Washington is a wild card, I agree with you that Jacoby Myers is a little bit older. And also, we didn't even talk about Brian Thomas Jr. could slide even further. I don't want to see it. I loved what I saw, his 1,200-yard rookie campaign. I love that. Neither. Right? Like, I don't want to see him take another slide, but he absolutely could. Maybe he's just not a fit for this coaching staff in this playbook. It's very possible that is the case. Okay, so there's a lot of, like, sliding, moving pieces at the wide receiver position. The only thing that I'm going to say, Matt, I'm just not sure, though. There was a very clear indication during the draft that this is a team that wants to move towards more 12 personnel. There's just not enough spots, man. There's just not enough snaps at wide receiver. I'm looking at this room and like, yeah, there's a lot of sliding pieces and like a lot of like, you know, we're not that sure. But there's still a lot of high quality players on here, man. We're talking about four wide receivers that are very high quality and really, truly, honestly, two wide receiver spots if Jacksonville goes through with this plan of playing more 12 personnel. So that's where I'm like, I don't know how much Travis Hunter is going to play, because I just look at that and I say, if this was going to be a heavy 11 personnel team, I'm in. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think Travis Hunter plays, but it seems to me like this team is transitioning more towards a heavier personnel grouping. And if that's the case, where does Travis Hunter fit in? I'm just not 100% sure.
Hey, man, I'm 100% with you. And like, this is not a fantasy take about like, oh, draft Travis Hunter in fantasy.
Oh, yeah, no,
any of that stuff. This is not about that at all, because I look at this room right now and the fact that they are definitely going to play more 12 than they did last year. They do have four quality receivers that should see the field.
Yes.
And they all these guys should see the field. And we know that Liam Cohen wants to have like a good, bountiful run game. You know what that sounds an awful lot like? James Code, you know what team that sounds an awful lot like the last few years? Sounds a hell of a lot like the Green Bay Packers, right?
Oh, no.
And that is kind of what I think this team, you know, could be. I think this team could be that, right? And if you look back at like this Packers team, even in like it's 2024, right? Jaden Reed leads and I know they've dealt with injuries and people have been on and off the field, but like Jaden Reed, 74% route participation, leads the team in 2024. 2023, it's Romeo Doubs at 80%. And then second place is Jaden Reed at 61%. You look back at 2025, it's Romeo Doubs at 74.3%. Matthew freaking Golden is second at 48%. And again, I know that there are injuries, Reed on and off the field, Christian Watson on and off the field.
But this has
been a heavy rotation team where like four guys did credibly need to see the field, if not five guys at different times. Now, I don't really think there's like a fifth receiver in Jacksonville. You know, they drafted like Josh Cameron and another guy day three. I don't think there's like that player necessarily. And this is a team that did in Green Bay, played a lot of 12 personnel and stuff like that over the years. You know, they obviously Tucker Kraft is great, but like Luke Musgrave at times would play, they'd get like a blocking tight end in the mix there and they wanted to run the football. And so, yeah, it was just tough. Like, okay, when are Packers receivers going to pop? I think that could be the case for the Jags this year. The question will be obviously who plays in some of those more heavier personnel packages, right? Like, is that Brian Thomas Jr. because he's the most X receiver
I
of the bunch?
Could it
be Jacoby Myers because he's the best blocking receiver? You know, probably of this bunch. Could it be Travis Hunter because they want to get him on these big vertical stretch routes? Maybe, right? Or it could be by the way, it could be all those guys, you know, like that's what I'm saying. So it looked that to me on paper, that's what the Jags receiver room looks like. Like a room that's going to be very similar to the Green Bay Packers, which by the way, fantasy managers hate it. Packers, one of the most efficient offenses over the last few years while running that stuff. I think it ran into trouble at times. Obviously, there's a reason now it looks like they might go the complete other direction where it's just three guys and that's it. Dobbs is out. Yeah. Wicks is out.
Yeah,
I think that might happen in time for Jacksonville. But for right now, yeah, I would imagine that it's going to be a pretty heavy rotation. Travis Hunter will be a part of that rotation. But yeah, if you hear all this stuff and like, again, just to make it a fantasy takes, I know our listeners care about that. If you don't want to be involved in this like little guessing game from a fantasy standpoint.
Yeah, avoid.
Go. Nobody's going to tell you otherwise. All right. No, don't. That's fine. That's fine. I'm not going to assume be like, no, be a man and don't be a, you know, like do whatever you want. If this is too annoying for you to figure out,
all right.
There's a lot of good wide receivers in the league. I think Travis Hunter is a good wide receiver. There's a lot of good wide receivers.
We transitioned to Houston here with Jalen Knoll. I think I was probably the most frustrated with this player among all the players here because what the bro, this guy is straight up good. This guy is a straight up beast. What is happening? How many shows did we do during the regular season, Matt, where I'm like, this guy needs to get on the football field. This guy needs to get on the football. I was literally going crazy talking about how Jalen Knoll needs to get on the football field. Like, I don't understand. And I get it. You at the top of the show, you said, oh, well, Christian Kirk. I don't care about Christian Kirk, dog. Get him off the football. Get Jalen Knoll on the football field and let this guy play. 72.7% success rate versus man. 81% success rate versus zone. 82% success rate versus press coverage? Are you freaking kidding me? Jalen Knoll is out here just a straight up beast. He's winning routes. He is beasting guys. He is just eating DBs for lunch and he can't get on the football field. Get out of here, bro. Stop. Jalen Knoll needs to play. I literally, my blood pressure went up reading this profile on Jalen Knoll because golly, I feel like we had so many conversations during the regular season about how I was just so confused why Jalen Knoll could not get more snaps for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I get it. It's a conservative coaching staff. You know, that's just what they are. They're a pretty conservative group, especially when it comes to trusting rookies, right? It kind of took them a little too long, I think, to get these rookies ramped up. 0.86 yards per route run for Christian Kirk. Of course, yards per route run is not a perfect stat. But it is.
Zero. Hey, listen, don't de-emphasize the zero leading that part, okay? Don't say 0.86. It's 0.86, okay?
I think people can infer that, that there's not a 4. It's not 4.86. So everybody except the Pittsburgh Steelers in the wild card round knew what to do with Christian Kirk. and then he toasted them. And it's like, well, see, yeah, he's a pretty useful player. So I do think Christian Kirk was a useful player for the Texans last year. I'm not going to crush him for, you know, kind of veteran deference there. But yeah, I think what we see from the profile is like Jalen Knoll, definitely good. Now, the press success rate of nearly 82%, it does come on a small sample of routes. But I think what it shows us is that this guy can indeed beat press man coverage. And
Before we go, like, am I incorrect? I should have looked this up before, but didn't he do this in college too?
Yes.
Didn't he beat press at a high rate at Iowa State?
Yeah, I mean, he was absolutely a good prospect. He was definitely better against like man coverage than pure press necessarily. Okay. But I mean, yeah, he was absolutely a really good college prospect. And you go back and look at his prospect charting, it was 68.4% success rate versus press. So 55th percentile, 84th percentile against man coverage and 82% against zone. Like, yeah, this, by the way, his route chart looks pretty damn similar what it was in college. Yeah, so this guy can absolutely get open. He's super explosive. He brings a lot of speed. He's definitely their second best separator beyond Nico Collins, who's a stud. Jaden Higgins, actually, his profile is interesting. I would encourage people to read that. I might do a breakdown of the two guys, like on YouTube, sort of solo style, breaking down those two profiles. Because Higgins, I actually thought, acquitted himself well when he was used as a Z receiver. So they kind of do have like a pretty interesting, in my opinion, three receiver set of Nico Collins, Jaden Higgins at Z, alternating between Z and power slot with a guy like Jalen Knoll, because 73% success rate versus man, like Jalen Knoll can play outside. Jalen Knoll can get down the football field and get open and win in tight coverage. That's another thing that we see both in his prospect charting and his rookie year charting, that he is a guy who can get that separation and win contested, win in tight coverage. So yeah, I really think that three receiver set can absolutely cook for the Houston Texans. Now, Tank Dell is a wild card, right? He's apparently going to try to come back this year. I hope he does, because he was an awesome rookie, but second season, not the same. Obviously, we didn't see him last year, and then his second season ended with a devastating injury. So they could definitely be like a four rotation team. Xavier Hutchinson is still kicking around on this roster, and they've used him a lot. He was second on the team in routes last year behind Nico Collins with Xavier Hutchinson, and kind of like an inside outside guy. So, you know, we'll see about that. James is, for the audio listeners, shaking his head. Over
my
there.
Eyes are rolled into the back of my head right now. Like, why are we getting this guy out here? Get Jalen Knoll reps, man. Like, what's going on? We got to play. Oh, but we got to play Xavier Hutchinson because he's good in the run game. Stop.
Blocker. Yeah. I know. No. Listen. God. And by the way, like Jalen Knoll, remember he put up a bunch of reps on the bench press. He's a super strong player, and he's like 5'11", 200 pounds. Like, he's not some little wallflower. You know what I'm saying? Like, he definitely is somebody that can get out there and make some plays. So yeah, I would love to see this guy be out there. I will make one last reference here on the show to the player comparison tool, because as much as we are talking about like, oh my God, this guy's going to play, this guy's got to be on the field more, two of his top four comparable players are Jaden Reed seasons.
That is the player. That's the play.
Oh, by the way, another guy. One of the other ones is Travis Hunter.
So mad.
And the other one, God, that's great. I love it. Curtis Samuel. So it's just like the Matt Harmon fell for it again, Hall of Fame right there. Like Curtis Samuel, Jaden Reed. So Jalen Knoll definitely could be in that archetype of players where he struggles to have a full-time snap share, especially if this team goes to more heavy personnel packages and they drafted a blocking tight end in Marlon Klein out of Michigan on day two. So definitely could be a spot where, you know, Knoll is getting squeezed for snaps, but good quality player who I really, really am a fan of his separation ability.
Unbelievable. Yeah, you take a look at some of the individual routes here. Lots of green on the route chart. Lots of green. Okay, only two routes where he's either average or below average. Surprisingly, his only below average route was the dig route. I was surprised by that, but he pairs that with, 61.5% success rate on the dig route, but somehow 90% success rate on the out route. Like, he does an incredible job leveraging defenders to the inside, forcing them to shade inside, and then bursting out to the outside here, man. But 61.5% on the dig, that was a little bit of a surprise, but doesn't matter. Great profile overall. 57% success rate on the nine route. I thought that was really surprising to see. I mean, good to see, too. I didn't think that Jalen Knoll would be able to get downfield at the professional level, and certainly he can do that.
Yeah, totally. That out route success rate stands out because talked a lot about this back in the day, like Tank Dell's rookie season. He was one of the best outbreaking route runners in the NFL that year, not just among rookies, like in the entire NFL. His combination of corner, out, comeback, and flat route success rates. You go back to Tank Dell's rookie year profile, which you can do on the website if you're a Sicko member. He was so good at that. He was so good at that. And CJ Stroud loved to throw those like big outbreaking routes, especially because Nico Collins was crushing on the in-breaking routes.
Yeah.
And yeah, just like they've not had a guy to do that since. I think Jalen, and we'll see what Tank Dell looks like. I don't want to totally dismiss him, but just coming back from a lot of major injuries and is a smaller player. But we'll see. I think Jalen Knoll can kind of replicate some of that.
So this is what, again, I'm driven crazy by this whole thing. But CJ Stroud took a big step back last year. I mean, humongous step back. And he just absolutely crashed out in the playoffs. That was literally one of the worst individual football performances you've ever seen at the quarterback position. That was Nathan Peterman levels of just ineptitude from a guy in CJ Stroud who is, 2 years ago was an absolute baller. You know what I'm saying? So, what drives me even more crazy is think about when CJ Stroud was at his absolute peak form, right? What was it? It was Nico Collins running around on the outside, and you had Tank Dell doing stuff, interchanging with Nico, and like, you know, he's playing outside. He's running these big boy over routes, and he's crushing you on these out routes too, right? Like, okay, that was when CJ Stroud was at his absolute best. You have somehow drafted a guy in Jalen Knoll who does all of those things, and you tell yourself, we're not going to put him on the football field because we got to get Xavier Hutchinson in the run game. What are we doing? What are we doing, Houston? Literally, CJ Stroud's best seasons came when Tank Dell and Nico Collins were out there just wrecking havoc, rampaging on the secondary. And you've got a guy in Jalen Knoll that can replicate a lot of that. And you have somehow convinced yourself that Christian Kirk and Xavier Hutchinson need to be on the football field instead. Bro, what are we doing? I'm so confused.
Yeah, I actually think too, if they do go to these heavy condensed sets, which is what they were under Bobby Slowick in the Tank Dell, Nico Collins combination in 2023. Like, you do kind of want that speed guy. Like, yes, obviously, you know, it Tank Dell, it stinks. He got hurt. He's a smaller player. He got hurt on a pretty routine. That always killed me. And people are like, how could they have Tank Dell in there blocking in the run game? It's like, well, if you're going to be a receiver, you got to block in the run game. Like, I'm sorry that he got rolled up on the sucks. He got rolled up on the leg like that. But like, that happens. It wasn't some crime just because he's a smaller player that he was run blocking. Like, that is what you have to do. And that's, again, like, Knoll is much bigger, but he offers that same verticality. You could argue that, like, they'll have a similar dimension to that when they get into these heavy condensed sets. But I do just wonder, like, what that leaves with Jaden Higgins, who, like I said, had a quality, like, definitely from a separation standpoint, he's not in Knoll's class, but he has really good hands and he wins on like big in-breaking routes. So there is ways you can use these guys in combination. And even Higgins is a bigger player who blocks well in the run game too. Like, he could be a guy that is more almost like that F receiver. And then you stretch out the defense with Jalen Knoll in that way. And just one last point on CJ Stroud, because I think this is worth saying. You mentioned the playoff game. I tweeted this on January 18th, right after that New England game. CJ Stroud, 10th lowest EPA per dropback for a starting quarterback in a playoff game since the year 2007. He was 418th out of 427 qualifying quarterbacks at the time. That was how bad that playoff game was.
Horrendous.
Obviously not good. So that was obviously not ideal. He didn't play well in the Steelers game either. That being said, in the regular season, he was 9th in EPA per play among starting quarterbacks, sandwiched between Patrick Mahomes and Sam Darnold. So I do think
Interesting.
I do think the playoff game is leaving us with a bad taste in our mouth about CJ Stroud, probably unfairly so. So I still think this can be a quality offense and Stroud can be a quality starting quarterback, but they just need to run. Like, honestly, all this stuff we're talking about the receivers, they do need to figure out the rotation. They need to be better about this for sure. They need to get these young Iowa State receivers on the football field, and they need to get them on the football field. And they need to be playing. Okay. Period.
Period.
But they also got to figure out their run game. Like, that's the biggest thing for Stroud. Like, he can't constantly be in bad down at distance situations. This team ranks 31st in rushing success rate since they drafted Stroud. Second to last. Obviously there are 32 teams in the NFL. So that is the thing they need to figure out. First and foremost, offensive line, run game. And then I think they have the pass catchers to be a good offense. Knoll is awesome. Higgins has his usage. Collins is a stud. Like, let's get going here.
So their solution to that is we're going to get an aging running back in David Montgomery, who's never had a full-time role and who was productive behind a very good offensive line in Detroit. We're going to put him behind one of the worst offensive lines in Houston, and we're going to cross our fingers and hope that works. That's Houston's plan at running back. Because they did not address it in the draft for some unknown, ungodly reason. I don't. You're saying they need to fix the run game, Matt? I am here to tell you that's not going to happen. Today's May 13th in the offseason. Well, I am telling you right now.
They can grind it out. Maybe
no,
they'll be,
they will
maybe
not.
They'll be 25th
in success
rate.
This is going to be a terrible signing. It's going to have absolutely no impact whatsoever on the run game. It's just, I'm shocked. I am shocked. Anyways, regardless.
Depressing.
It is depressing. And I apologize to all the Texan fans out there because, like, I want y'all to be good, man. Like, I love CJ Stroud. I love Jalen Knoll. I love Nico Collins.
Yes.
I, and like, again, I I really want this team to be good. I do. I'm just saying, can we figure out a way to get Jalen Noel on the football field? And my God, like, why are we, I don't understand why you would pick up David Montgomery instead of just addressing it in the draft, man. Like, that's just,
well, not a lot of good players in the draft, but you know,
it's baffling, man. Not, I agree with you. Listen, I'm charting all these dudes. I agree with you. There's not a ton of great guys, but there's more than ample opportunity to pick up a player that I think could have helped you in the run game more than David.
We need that Woody Marks profile stat.
Hey, let me, if I could give myself a pat on the back, man, like I feel like I really did Woody Marks, his prospect profile, I thought was a pretty good indicator of what we might see at the professional level. And I thought that was pretty good. And going back to Jacksonville, oh my goodness, I absolutely like nailed that backfield when we're talking about ETN versus Bashiel Tutin. So
you got a lot of shit stuff. Right. And your running back charting was good last year.
It was pretty solid.
It was you got a lot. You got a lot.
The New England thing was good.
Yeah, you got a lot of stuff right that like people definitely can learn from. That's for sure. So yeah, excited.
I was very against the grain in regards to a couple of guys there for sure, especially at the rookie level. Especially the prospect level. I was very against the grain on Trevion Henderson and Bashiel Tutin, and those ended up being pretty spot on. Anyways, okay, enough of that. Enough backclapping here. But go check out the profiles, by the way, receptionperception.com. We've got 7 running back profiles, but again, 10 of these year 2 guys have dropped. There'll be probably 14, maybe 15 year 2 drops by the end of the week, man. Player comparison tool. You want to find these quarterback prospect profiles. I think this one on Cole Payton is really interesting for Philadelphia. If you're an Eagles fan, I think that's a must read. Really interesting stuff across the board. Content is flowing now on Reception Perception, and it's a good time to be a subscriber. Anyways, we got to go. For Matt Harmon, I'm James Cobb. We'll see you, but remember, it's never too late to chase your dreams. All right, peace.